thing that I'm doing that you can do it in a 10-minute speech. All right, we got to chapter 1 and verse 13. Last week we looked at the revival that came about when the people obeyed the words of Haggai the prophet and how God worked in them. And then now we're going to see God's response to the people's repentance. And I think this is fascinating. We'll read verse 13. Then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, in the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. Now, in the previous verse, we saw how the people responded to God's message and His messenger. In this verse, we see how God responded to their sincere repentance and obedience. He saw what was in their heart. He saw the turning, the change that occurred when they heard the word of the Lord, they obeyed the word of the Lord, and they committed to building the house of God. And God, in response, promises to be with them. And it really follows a time-honored principle that's set forth in 2 Chronicles 7:14, which is famous. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. In principle, this is what happened. The people saw they were wrong. They responded to the word of the Lord. They heard the man of God, and they set about to do the work. Here's what's amazing to me. Note the sudden change in God's tone in the message delivered to the prophet. Up to this point in the previous verses, God was chiding them for their sin. And He was explaining to them why they were under judgment, why they were receiving chastening. And in this verse, all God had to do is see the attitude of their heart, their mind of sincere repentance and desire to obey, and He promises them His unfailing presence. He does this, note this, even before they started the work. He said, I'm with you. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to empower you. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to encourage you. I am with you. All that we would see in our present day, in our present situation, that if we just get our hearts right and turn to God, that He'll strengthen us for the work ahead. But it takes commitment to do the work and a sincere repentance. I like T.V. Moore's comment. He wrote this in 1856. I love old writers. He said this, there is something very beautiful in the sudden change of tone manifest in the message of God. The people had not yet begun to work, but as soon as they showed a disposition to do so, the stern and reproving tone of God is changed from one of the most exquisite tenderness. It is as if He hastened to forget their former unfaithfulness and to assure them that, in spite of it all, He was not only willing to be with them, but actually was with them as soon as their hearts turned toward Him. This presence of God is regarded rightly as being the highest blessing that could be bestowed on them and the surest guarantee of success, the presence of the Lord. They had the same jealous enemies yet around them that had arrested the work before, but God assures them that now He was with them And nothing should be allowed again to hinder the work. The people had been faced with drought, with poverty, with fierce opposition. Humanly speaking, looking at it purely from a human perspective, there was no way they could finish the task at hand. Everything was against them. Drought, poverty, opposition. By faith, they believed God's word, and they acted upon it. No matter how the odds were stacked against them, they had the promise that the Lord was with them. And what a cheering promise that is. God is in our midst. He will not leave us or forsake us. If God be for us, who can be against us? This proclamation by the prophet gave them fresh courage and holy boldness to get on with the task of rebuilding the temple. And I think they probably remembered and hearkened back to the word God gave to Joshua as he was about to enter into a prospect of he didn't know what was coming. Do you remember what God said to him? Joshua chapter 1, "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee." That's verse 5. Verses 8 and 9. "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Then shalt thou have good success. Then shall thy way be prosperous. And then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." Dear child of God, this is what we need. A fresh dispensation, if you will, of the presence and the power of God in our personal lives, in our churches, in our homes. Take courage. If God is with us, who can be against us? You know, the Lord Jesus gave a very similar promise to His kind of church when He gave them the Great Commission that is still in effect today. "Go ye therefore into all and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." You know that promise? It energized the early churches of the Lord Jesus Christ, prompting them to spread the message of Christ's death, His burial, His resurrection everywhere they went. So much so that by the time you get to Acts 17, the testimony was that they had turned the world upside down with the gospel of grace. Oh, that we would take fresh courage from this promise in our day and be zealous in our efforts to fulfill the Great Commission. Now, in verses 14 and 15, God stirs the people to do the work. "And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel." Have you all noticed these names are just rolling off my tongue now? Alan's shaking his head. No, it just takes practice, that's all. And listening to Alexander Scorby every once in a while. "Governor of Judah and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Joshedech, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and did work in the house of the Lord of hosts, their God, in the 24th day of the 6th month, in the 2nd year of Darius the king. Verse 14 makes it clear why Zerubbabel the governor, the civil leader, Joshua the high priest, the spiritual leader, and all of the remnant of the people had such a drastic change of heart. Think about this. Only 21 days before, in verse 5, he said, "Now therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways." Just 21 days before, the people had to be publicly rebuked by the strong preaching of Haggai the prophet. Only 21 days earlier, they were only concerned, and they had been for years, only with their own welfare, their own houses. And they were neglecting the rebuilding of the temple. So what happened in this 3-week period of time? God sent a prophet with a specific message aimed at arresting their attention and bringing them to repentance. The Lord attended the Word with the power of the Holy Spirit to open their ears, their hearts, and their minds. God Almighty stirred them to hear and hearken to the Word. You know what? The people willingly surrendered to the will of God to do the work of God. And that's the essence of what Christian service is all about. This is what real revival is about. You submit, surrender entirely to God's will and do His work. And that's what they were willing to do. T.V. Moore said, "Every good impulse or reviving of religion in the hearts of men is produced by the direct power of God through the Holy Spirit." It's not brought about by men. It wasn't just the preaching of Haggai. You can preach till you're blue in the face, but God the Spirit must attend and move. Not by might, nor by strength, but by My Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. That's written by one of the contemporaries of Haggai. No? Zechariah. Pretty sure it was Zechariah. Boy, if it ain't, I'm going to really feel bad. Let's see. I might have it underlined somewhere. Oh, boy. All right. Al might be right, and I might be wrong. May I tell you, it ain't the first. It won't be the first time. But I'm pretty sure it's in Zechariah. Like I always say, when I don't know something, it's in there somewhere. It's in there somewhere because I've quoted it before. Zechariah 4:6. Now, thank God he knew right to where to look. See? So I'll give him credit for that. Alan Staley. I thought for sure you'd bring it, you'd have it just like that. Brother, come on now. Now listen. Psalm 110 and verse 3 says this: "Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power." God stirred the people in a miraculous way and motivated them for service. Zechariah the prophet. Oh, well, this was in my notes. That's why I know it. Zechariah 4, 6, 9, and 10. See, this is what happens. You do things by manuscript that's in your notes. You've been editing, preparing, and I already quoted it, and here it is in my notes. So I wouldn't even have gone through that. "This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by My Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Then verses 9 and 10, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also finish it. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. For who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. They are the eyes of the Lord which run to and fro through the whole earth. I like that. Remember the old hymn we sing at different times? And I'm not going to sing it, but I'm going to recite it. Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God. Will you pray with all your power while we try to preach the word? All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. Brethren, pray in holy manner. Shall be showered all around. Thank God tonight for the power of the Holy Spirit who works in us. The Bible says, for it is God which worketh in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Oh, that we might be led by the Spirit to serve our God, to walk in the Spirit, to serve Him acceptably, to be filled with the Spirit, so that we may be emptied of self and to be led of the Spirit to do what God commands. That's what happened here. When God moves upon His people, they respond with willing hearts and minds. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 5 and verse 11 and 12 says this, and this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. What a great phrase that is. They first gave themselves unto the Lord. Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which we have. You have. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. Now you think about this particular situation. They had nothing but a willing mind. And God said, I'm going to be with you. The power of God was evident as the people came, it says, and did work in the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. John Gill said, God roused them up from that sleep and sloth in which they were before, both the governors and the common people. He wrought in them both to will and to do, or a willing mind to do His work in building His house. He gave them a spirit of both industry and courage. He enabled them to shake off that sluggish disposition they were attended with and that fear of men which possessed them. He inspired them with zeal and resolution to enter upon the work at once and pursue with close applications. The Lord only could do this. Verse 15 reveals that they began the work of rebuilding the temple only 21 days after the prophet had first preached the word of the Lord unto them. 3 weeks. That's a pretty quick response to the word of God. Now, some commentators believe that they began the work of cleansing the rubbish, the gathering and preparing of stones and wood in this 21-day interval. Now, we want to close with some practical observations about this first chapter. Preachers should never water down or dilute the message of the Word of the Lord. Haggai did not fear the faces of men. He faithfully preached the message that God instructed him to preach. And all preachers would do well to follow this formula and the example of Haggai in preaching the Word. Even though his message was strong and to the point, he preached the word. He was not worried about what the people might say about him. Rather, he cared only for the honor and glory of God. Let's be careful to emulate that attitude and that example. Secondly, God uses His Word in a mighty way. What a miraculous revival occurred. God moved and the people responded in obedience. And the power of the Spirit was evident. Number three, God stirred the people by His Spirit and they responded with willing hearts and minds. We need to experience this in our day. And fourthly and finally, even though the odds were stacked against them, God gave the people faith and fresh courage to do the work, telling us that no matter what the obstacles or opposition may be, God can empower us to be overcomers for His glory and His honor. We'll get into chapter 2 next week, God willing.